A long-awaited and deserved milestone for the team over at eyeglass retailer Warby Parker. They are debuting by way of direct listing today with the reference price set at $40 a share. Founded in 2010, Warby Parker was an early pioneer in the direct-to-consumer movement that has since swept throughout retail. Joining us now from the New York Stock Exchange are the co-founders and co-CEOs of Warby Parker, Neil Blumenthal and Dave Gilboa. Listen, we were talking in the break, guys. It feels like yesterday you launched in 2010. It feels like to me it was yesterday. Congrats on this milestone. For folks or investors who are just now learning about the Warby Parker story, why the patience in leading up to the IPO? Tell them a little about yourself.
So yeah, it's wild that we're 11 years in, but it still feels like we're in the first or second inning. So right, we started Warby Parker because we were frustrated consumers walking into an optical shop, walking out, feeling like we had been ripped off. So the thought was, if we could build our own brand, design our own glasses under our own brand and go direct to customers, right, we could sell a product like the ones I'm wearing for $95 instead of $400 or $500. And that was the basis premise, just how can we make customers happy? And what we found is a lot of people don't realize how big the optical industry is. It's $140 billion. And here in the US, right, we're about 1% market share. So as we think about today and get excited, we still believe we're in the first inning here.
Dave, your sales went up last year, if I'm correct, right smack in the middle of a global health pandemic. Help investors understand why your sales did rise.
Yeah, so we've always believed that we should focus on providing the best possible experience to all of our customers, and that means having a world-class offering both online and offline. And so even though the pandemic impacted our business and we were one of the first in our industry and one of the first national retailers to close all of our stores, and we kept them closed until we thought it was safe to welcome our team and customers back and into those stores, we were able to continue to serve those customers through our digital capabilities, including our e-commerce offering, where customers can download our app and do a virtually try on any of our glasses. They can get their prescriptions remotely through our virtual vision test. We have the first of its kind home try-on, where we can send glasses to customers' homes for free. And because we have that flexibility in our model, we were able to continue to serve customers when the rest of our industry couldn't. And so we were able to grow in spite of the challenges and the headwinds from the pandemic. And frankly, we feel like we're emerging stronger because we have that flexibility in our model, and we're able to continue to meet customers wherever they want to shop with us.
Hey guys, you are not a typical or a traditional corporate structure in that you are registered as a public benefit corporation, a B Corp in other words, which effectively that means that you can't just consider the wants and needs and priorities of shareholders. You have to look at the bigger community of stakeholders. Well, and I know that's not something that's new to you guys becoming a public company. Why did you decide to structure that way? And how are you going to sell that to public market investors?
Well, you know, our corporate structure just reflects how we run our business, which is focusing on customers, focusing on employees, focusing on investors and shareholders. And the public benefit corporation status enables us to do that. We think that it's really about long-termism. And we've built, right, Warby Parker over the last 11 years for the long term. As Dave mentioned, we were one of the first national retailers to close our stores in March of 2020 when the pandemic was first hitting. Remember, we didn't even call it COVID-19 back then. It was a novel coronavirus. There wasn't enough PPE. But we continued to pay our employees because it was the right thing to do. And we've always been concerned that there might be some short-term thinkers who think that that's a bad financial decision, when in reality, it's the right financial long-term decision. So fast forward to today, we don't have a lot of the labor challenges recruiting and retaining talent in our 150-plus stores across the U.S. and Canada as a lot of our peers and other retailers do, because we did the right thing.
Hey, it's Brian here. I want to ask about that $140 billion eyewear market. As you mentioned, it's huge, but what is the growth of that? Because one issue, I guess, is that people will only want or need eyeglasses or contacts X amount of times, every X amount of years. So at the same time, though, what was interesting about your S1 was that you noted that people's eyes are getting worse because they're looking at their smartphones and tablets more often, which may have been accelerated by the pandemic. So is the total addressable market actually increasing, or is it pretty steady based off of what you're projecting?
Yeah, so the market's projected to grow at 9% annually, which is significantly faster than the overall economy. And as you noted, the incidence of refractive error, so the percentage of the population that needs glasses, is increasing over time, and that's due to people spending more time indoors, spending more time looking at screens, as you mentioned, and also more people entering into a category where they need progressive lenses. And that's another huge opportunity for us at Warby Parker, where it's we're offering progressives for $295. At most other retailers, those comparable quality might be $1,000 or more. So we're offering great value to that customer segment, but it's a newer part of our business. It's going to create a lot of tailwinds for us going forward.
You know, guys, I think it's safe to say that when Warby Parker started, it was incredibly disruptive, maybe even revolutionary for people who wear glasses, right? That you could get glasses at this price point in this way. Now, gosh, there are a lot of other online glass sellers, right, that are offering glasses at the same or lower price points than Warby Parker. So in this newer, more competitive environment, how do you still convince consumers that they should buy Warby Parker glasses?
Yeah, you know, there's a difference between price and quality, and we've always looked at value as the price to quality ratio, and we feel safe to say that we delivered in a way that other companies can, and I think that's reflective in our customer satisfaction. So when we measure Net Promoter Score, which is probably the best measure of customer satisfaction, our Net Promoter Score is an 83, whereas our peers are often in single digits and the 20s, more in line with the airlines industry than with us. So we believe that if we keep putting customers first, if we keep interacting them directly through our stores, through our websites, through our apps, that we'll be able to continue to grow for the foreseeable future.
And then we talked about labor costs earlier, but I want to ask about materials costs. We know inflation across the board is becoming an issue for every industry, essentially. What is the pressure on your company as you try to keep that $95 price point for a lot of these frames? We know resin is getting more expensive, cellulose acetate. I don't know what the pricing looks like there. I'm not really a chemicals expert, but can you feel confident about your ability to keep your pricing point where it is now?
Yeah, so we've been able to significantly increase our gross margins historically, and we don't expect global supply chain issues to impact our ability to maintain that great value that Neil mentioned and maintain our margins. And we're able to do that because we vertically integrated, and we've taken a lot of the supply chain in-house, where we have full control over the process of making glasses and shipping them out. And so we have one of the largest optical labs in the world based in Sloatsburg, New York. We just opened our second optical lab in Las Vegas and are excited to continue to invest in our own capabilities that will insulate us from some of these external factors.
Neil, lastly, before we let you guys go, I know it's a big day for you both. Where else, so 95% of your business is in fact tied to eyeglasses. Where else do you see or think that Warby Parker has permission to play? What other categories?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we're so excited is all the tailwinds. So we only started selling contact lenses. Last year was our first full year. You know, it's about 2% of our business, whereas the total addressable market is over $5 billion. And most optical retailers, it's 15 to 20% of their business. Similarly, eye exams and vision tests are about 1% of our business, and that's also addressable market that's over $5 billion. So it's actually amazing that we've grown so quickly despite not having a large contacts and eye exam offering, which we now have, and that will continue to grow in the years ahead.
All right, we have to let you guys go. You have to get ready for your first earnings call, right? It's coming up soon, guys.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thanks for having us.
All right. Warby Parker co-founders and co-CEOs Neil Blumenthal and Dave Gilboa. Good to see you guys.